Handoff, Taylor running outside. He's got room 25, turns inside 20. On his feet, 15. Here he goes to the 5. Touchdown, Fred Taylor. 25 yards and the Jaguars are on the board. Mark takes the snap, drops to throw, pocket collapsing, sets up the screen. Taylor's got it with room. Taylor's at the 15, Taylor's at the 10. Taylor goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 16 yards on the screen pass, and the Jaguars take their first lead of the night, 13-10. Here's a handoff to Fred, running to the left, looking for room. He is into the end zone, touchdown, Jacksonville. That's 3 touchdowns tonight for Taylor, and the Jaguars lead 26-10. They're piling it on the Steelers here at Three Rivers Stadium. Mark under center gives the ball to Fred, running to the left, cutting it back. He's at the 25, he's at the 20. Fred coming outside at the 15. Fred at the 10, 5, touchdown. Fred Taylor, his 4th touchdown of the night.
Wow, he's wearing out that corner of the end zone, that's for sure.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Come on.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Thursday to you. As you may have noted there, no Mike DiRocco in the show open. He will join us on the program coming up here in about 15 minutes. But with the conditions the way they are right now, D-Rock's going to take a little hiatus from joining us in studio. And we certainly understand all that stuff going on. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
Morning, E.T.
What's happening?
You tell me, man. What's happening with you?
A little razzle dazzle.
Is that your favorite blue hat on once again? What hat are we sporting in? Oh, see, it's that. That's what I'm talking about, Tony.
So he's got a Red Sox, a Yankees, and a Rays hat.
Yeah.
And I picked up my Red Sox hat today. I'm like, nah, I ain't going to do that to Mike.
I know he wears a Blue Jay uniform from time to time. So
he's got the whole division covered.
Pretty much the whole division covered.
Oh, they're all in the same division?
Nothing from the Orioles?
No.
I got Orioles.
Do you do have Orioles? You got the whole AL East covered. What about Detroit and Cleveland? We can go back to my youth when it was a 7-team division.
I got Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any Cleveland hats.
Somebody get this man some Cleveland gear.
I don't think I got some
Cleveland. All right. Maybe Jan will buy you some Cleveland gear. He's offering to buy people clothes out there right now because, if it's a choice between feeding your family and buying somebody clothes, always buy somebody clothes, Tony, I think, is the way to go. So don't roll your eyes at me, young man, because, I feel for the guy. I want him to be able to eat, but at the same time, I want him to be able to buy the local media clothes as much as possible. I'll save Jan the trouble. I wear all the free stuff I get from 1010XL, all right? I'm basically a bum, okay? I get my hair cut with a pair of clippers, right, on the lowest setting. By the way, going today, Tone.
Oh, yeah?
Because after that, it's going to grow for 30 days at least, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think barbershops, are they an essential business these days?
I don't know.
They might be shutting us down.
I think, I know my local barbershop in St. Augustine today is like, get in while the getting's good. And I will do that today. And, I don't know. Am I a bad person? Because you can't be socially distant from your barber. Right? Have you been cutting hair?
On an appointment basis, yeah.
On an appointment basis, right? I'm sure you're scrubbing up. Do you cut with gloves on?
No, I don't cut with gloves.
No? See, I wonder if, we all need to take it seriously. Obviously, yesterday, the city of Jacksonville put out the safer at home order, right?
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, is it incredibly selfish of me to wonder the first thing that came up, will I be able to play golf for the next month? And because I do think golf is like the one activity, Tone, I think you can really socially distance yourself very easily.
Sure. Based on what I saw yesterday, the answer is yes.
Yeah, right. The city of Jacksonville, I've seen like certain local golf courses. Now, there's one, I'm on a lot of golf course mailing lists. Like, you sign up, whatever, and they email you their specials. And I know like Pine Lakes down in Palm Coast, sent out, hey, we're complying with the statewide order. I don't understand what supersedes what. City of Jacksonville saying you can play golf, is that included in the acceptable recreational activities that the state has listed? Because, I mean, I saw, like, walking and going for a bike ride and things like that.
Sure.
I know you can look, if you have your own cart, and I've got a package of Purell wipes that, the heck with my family, okay, I'm going to wipe down that cart, all right? And that's for my family. Is the way I look at it. I'm going to wipe down that car.
You're part of the family.
Right. I'm part of the family.
That's right.
Head of household is what I'd like to call myself. Don't tell my wife, please, that I said that. I'll be in big, big trouble. But I like to wipe down all the, even though all the golf courses are doing a really good job. Like you go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
They now have a position Like, it used to be, like, at times, certain times of the year, the best position when you were a bagger at Publix, that was my first job, other than maybe mowing a few lawns, you have to be on cart duty for an hour, right, in your shift. If you got, like, a six-hour shift, one of those hours, you're in the parking lot, you're constantly retrieving carts, making sure they're not bumping into people's cars, emptying the cart corral and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In the middle of summer, that job sucked.
Sure.
In the fall and winter? Oh, are you kidding me? You were out there, man. You're like cruising around the parking lot. Everybody's stuck inside. You're like, yeah, this is amazing. Now they've got the young man or woman standing there with all the disinfectant, right? And they literally, at some of the stores, are spraying the carts as you need one. And that, I assume they're all cleaned, right? But they want you to know that it's clean. So they got a guy there or a lady standing there, wiping it all down, all the surfaces that you would touch, which, I mean, hey, you got to be smart, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you may have heard a pandemic going on with the COVID-19 right now.
No
so,
doubt, yeah.
You know, it just, look, again, if you're out there, hopefully you have the ability to continue working from home or you're listed as an essential business. We get it. Times are tough for a lot of people out there. And you won't hear Tony and I and Emmanuel complaining because we have it far better than a lot of people. So knock on wood, we're very fortunate to be in the position we're in and happy to be here talking Jaguar football with you. 3 weeks out, Tone, from the NFL draft.
Yes, we are.
You getting excited a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm kind of, I mean, it's like there's not, there's it's
I would be getting excited anyway.
The one thing
anyway.
We have to look forward to on the sports calendar, right?
Yeah, I'd be getting excited about it anyway, but when it's the only thing on the calendar that we know is there, like we know in 3 weeks we're going to be watching the NFL draft. So, yeah. I'm excited.
I want to know, right? Especially because the hometown team here's got a dozen picks, and they could go in any number of directions, right? They could move up aggressively. They can. I can't imagine they're going to move back a whole lot, but they could potentially in a spot or two and accumulate some more 2021 picks if you want to.
Sure.
You know? Maybe trade some of those fourth rounders this year for third rounders next year. Seriously, I mean
that'd be sweet.
That's the way to do it. I would have so much fun.
Doing like
this whole deal.
Back the next trading for next year to come up one round.
Yes, that's like a reasonable price to pay. Like if you give up, it's like when they traded for Derek Cox, right? For the draft pick. What did they give up in that one? They gave up like a second the following year to get him at the top of the third. Am I thinking of that in the right way? It was something like that.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
And he had come out early, and the feeling was, well, if he came out next year, this is where he would go in the draft, and you'd have a year under your belt. That may be one of the guys on a short list of guys that even after they drafted, I thought, man, this guy could be really, really good.
Oh yeah.
And just was like, huh, kind of what happened to him? You know, he had the athleticism, he had the size, it seemed like he had it all, but just didn't work out to a big-time level. You have the details on that deal, that swap?
I'm looking them up.
Back in the day?
I'll figure it out.
All right, figure it out. E.T., how are we doing?
I remember he had a couple really big years early.
Right,
like,
but then it just,
back-to-back
like,
four interception years, and it was like, okay, this guy's
this
kind of
right, like you don't see that happen right out of the gates very often. At least this franchise hasn't had it happen very often, which may not be the best measuring stick, but how are we doing on the media mock draft?
Oh man, we almost all the way set.
We're cruising,
yeah,
right?
Everybody's ready. Like,
all right, so that will take place 3 weeks from yesterday is the goal. So whatever that would be, what the 22nd of April is when that's scheduled for Wednesday the 22nd.
Jags traded their 7th round pick and a 2nd the next year.
The next year,
yeah,
and they took him where?
In the 3rd round.
Okay, so it was like, yeah, you basically gave up a 3rd. They also gave up the 7th, but, you know, that's negligible. The 3rd, you got the 3rd for a 2nd rounder the following year. That's kind of about the equivalency. So maybe they do something like that. Today's question of the day involves the draft. We'll do this for sure each of the next couple of Thursdays, focusing specifically on the draft. As things stand right now, Jags have the 9th and 20th picks. Who are your two targets? Last week we did give us a guy outside the first round. Today, who are the two players you'd really love to see them walk away with 9 and 20 that you realistically think will be there? In other words, don't put Joe Burrow, right? Don't put Chase Young. almost anybody. I don't think Tua really has a chance to be there at 9. I did see, where was it yesterday? I saw someone
say they thought there's a good chance he's the third quarterback taken.
Yes, and they said that, who are they doing the story for? They're doing an evaluation. I'll dig it up. And they said in talking to front office people around the league, at least one, and if not multiple ones, had Tua ranked fourth among quarterbacks. So at least one person that he spoke to had Burrow at the top, and I think it was Herbert, Love, Tua in that order in terms of potential for the NFL. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Tua could be there. I mean, Okuda is unlikely, but it's possible. Right? Yeah. There are scenarios, plenty of mock draft scenarios out there, depending on how things go. Derek Brown, absolutely, could be there. You're still on the Isaiah Simmons bandwagon? I thought I heard somebody yell in the background, yeah, when I mentioned Derek Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, just checking. So anyway, that's the question of the day out there on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at IME to the T. Which two players would you like to see the Jaguars land with the 9th and 20th picks that you realistically think have a chance to be available when those picks come on the board? And we're not projecting any trade-ups in this scenario as well. So you can give us your thoughts on that. You can hit us up on the phone line today at 641-1010. Also the same number for the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Mike DiRocco of ESPN on the other side. We'll talk about in his recent article on Yannick Ngakoue, he said the Jags have not received any trade offers. Now that can be a little deceptive, right? Not that Mike's being deceptive, but team may call you and say, hey, what's your price? And the Jags go, first and a third. I don't know, all right? I'm just throwing it out there. Sure. And they say, okay, well, we'll check back with you later. Like, maybe it's just too expensive. Maybe there are teams that would be willing to make an offer, but they know it's not what the Jags would want. But the bottom line is, according to DiRocco, no one has stepped forward and said, here is what we're willing to give you for Yannick Ngakoue. So we'll talk about that and more coming up on the other side. See who D-Rock will like at 9 and 20. He'll join us next, talking Jaguar football with you for the next 2 hours. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Emmanuel Thalerand. Come on, somebody. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time to turn up the heat on the Roof It Right hot seat.
Hot.
Roof It Right so you can sleep at night.
What's that say, Tony? DiRocco on deck, ready to come on?
Yeah.
D-Rock okay. In the biddy.
In the biddy?
Yeah.
That's where he is. I always feel weird saying this because if you listen on the FM, you're not listening at the moment. We had some kind of, I don't know, I'll call it a power surge. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what technically happened. Like, all the power in the building fluctuated, went off and on a couple of times within a 30-second span right towards the end of the 9 o'clock hour. And the AM is apparently working fine. The streaming, if you're listening online or on the app, or if you're saying, Alexa, open 1010XL skill.
Skill.
Right? And now, if you are listening on an AM radio in your house and you have Alexa, I'm messing with you right now, right? Hey, Alexa, play easy listening 70s music. I just wonder if that worked. Like, did anyone's Alexa get triggered by picking it up through the radio right there?
Yeah, I wonder.
I should say all kinds of weird things and then, you know, if there's a way to check your Alexa history, you know, maybe you get in trouble with your wife down the line. Alexa, play. Never mind. That's, I don't know what it could be. It's not a video service, so I'm not sure. You can listen on the stream. You can listen on the AM. If you're listening on the FM right now, you didn't hear any of that. So, you know, I don't know if there's any real benefit to saying it, but spread the word. Holler out the window to your neighbors. Hey, I'm still working fine. Let's get Mike DiRocco of ESPN up. And now things are going to work fantastic with D-Rock on board. Hello, D-Rock.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're fine. We miss your smiling face, but these interesting times we live in are forcing us to separate for the foreseeable future. But we are glad to have you on board, and we trust that you and your family are doing fine on your neck of the woods.
Yeah, everybody here is good. Hopefully everybody listening is good, and hopefully everybody, you guys and your families at the stadium or at the station are doing well, too.
Yeah, so far so good, knock on wood. You know, yeah. I don't like to get too close to Tony and Emmanuel as it is, so it really hasn't been an adjustment for me. D-Rock, let's get into some things with these Jags 3 weeks out from the start of the NFL draft. We'll circle around to that. Obviously, Jan has been on a social media tear of late, Yannick Ngakoue. And one thing that you wrote at ESPN.com, I encourage folks to check that out. I read you every chance I get, is you said that the Jags have not received an offer. I take that to mean they may have had inquiries like, hey, what are you looking for? But no one has flat out said, here is what I'm willing to give you for Yannick Ngakoue. Is that the case?
Yeah, correct. I mean, people have called, Dave Caldwell, other GMs, and they've kind of just felt things out. You know, hey, what might it take to get him there? And, you know, I think it's going to be a minimum of one first-round pick. Any deal is going to have to include a first-round pick, I think, for Yannick Ngakoue. But no, like you said, nobody has called back and said, okay, here's the deal. We'll give you, our number one and a two next year, a number one and a number two, and then maybe a four next year, whatever, for Yannick and whatever. So there's been no official offer yet. And, you know, that may change as we get closer to the draft, but right now, there's just kind of no movement at all in that situation.
Do you think it will change? I mean, we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft getting underway, and really the idea of the Jags moving up, if it is a possibility, you would think Yannick Ngakoue likely would be involved in any scenario that involved them moving ahead of number nine. Do you feel like it is something that is on the table right now, or very unlikely?
If it changes, it's because they got an offer they can't turn down. It's not going to be like Dave Caldwell and the Jags are not going to go, well, look, we need to move up, so we'll take a deal less than what we think because we just want to move up in the draft. No, I don't see that at all. Like they're either going to trade him for what they feel is a good offer, or they're going to basically put the ball in his court and say, okay, you clearly don't want to play here, but we signed you to the front. We used the franchise tag on you, so you either play for us or you don't play this year. So I think that's kind of where it might end up being headed because they're not just going to take any offer just to get him off the roster. That's just not going to happen.
No, and I don't want to get bogged down in this because we have other things we want to talk about. But if you were to move up, like if you're moving up within the top 10, oftentimes it would take a first-round pick to do that. So you could see giving up Yon as the equivalent of giving up the value of a first-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's not outrageous to think that, hey, if they had a chance to go up to number four with the Giants and, they looked at, okay, if we count this as a first-round pick, add that to nine, where does that land us in terms of the value chart and all that stuff? But I don't think it's very likely that they move up, Mike, is my guess. I could see them moving up in one scenario. If they've been slow playing it at the quarterback position, you know, at least publicly, and they wanted to make a move on a guy like Tua, let's say. We've seen a raft of mock drafts in the last week connect the Jaguars to either Jordan Love or Justin Herbert at 9 or 20, depending on the mock drafter. Mike, what do you think? I mean, Doug Marrone said on the conference call the other day they're expecting a big leap out of Gardner. Do you expect that they will put everything in place to make Gardner Minshew as successful as he possibly can be this year? Is this year all about Gardner, or do you think that quarterback is in play early in this draft?
I don't get the sense that quarterback's in play this early. I mean, maybe you guys get a different feel, but no, I think they're going to roll with Gardner, and their goal is to get him as much help as they possibly can. So I think while it may be two defensive guys in the first round, or maybe at least one defensive guy, I think this might be an offense-heavy draft, to be honest with you, if things fall the way they want. And by offense-heavy, I don't mean necessarily, seven of the 12 picks. I mean some of the higher picks, you know, guys that you can expect to make an impact right away might be offensive guys, receivers, tight ends, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe a back. But I don't get the sense that they're in on Tua. Someone said to me, hey, look, if they draft the rookie, that gives them an extra year, buys them a year. And I don't necessarily think that's the case, because they feel like, and if you remember what Shad Khan said, the time to win is now. Well, yeah, you can win with a rookie quarterback, but I mean, there's still a belief among Dave and Doug and Shad that there are enough pieces in place there right now that they could win now. And the best chance to win now under the current roster that they have now is to roll with Gardner Minshew, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Assuming you're correct, D-Rock, and that they're not going to be looking at quarterback early, do you agree with them that Gardner Minshew is the best plan for 2020?
Yeah, I mean, Foles is gone, so that's out. I don't see them bringing in a Cam Newton. You know, Winston is intriguing, but it would be as a competition thing anyway. It wouldn't be like, okay, we're signing Jameis, and sorry, Gardner, that's our guy. It would be he'd have to compete to beat him out. And I don't know if I told you guys this or we talked about this last week or the week before, but the biggest knock on Blake Bortles was the turnovers. Well, he had 94 in his five seasons as the starter. Well, Jameis Winston, in his first five seasons, had 111. So after 5 years, you kind of are who you are. And, yes, he threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns last year, but, you know, he's a turnover guy, and you don't win with turnover guys, as we've seen. The 1 year the Jags won under Bortles, he cut the turnovers way down, and they had an elite-level defense that we thought was going to be around for a while but turned out not to. You know, they don't have that, so you can't overcome those turnovers. So I don't see them signing a Jameis Winston and saying, okay, he's our guy. So I just get the feeling it's going to be Gardner. And, you know, look, the kid was pretty good last year. The best of all the rookies, 21-6. You got to feel like he's going to be better and smarter and stronger in his second year. All indications are he's going to work his rear end off. So I think that's probably the best approach that they could handle if they weren't going after like a Rivers or a Brady or a guy like that.
Mike DiRocco of ESPN joining us here on Jaguars Today. Mike, what are the chances that maybe the Jaguars go all in on Minshew to the point where, you know, oftentimes you hear like, all right, the Bills like Josh Allen. He got him to the playoffs. He's still on his rookie deal. So they spend a first rounder and a couple of other draft picks and they acquire Stephon Diggs and they're trying to put the pieces around him. And people say, all right, they're pushing all their chips in on Josh Allen. Like, we talk so much about Derek Brown or Okuda or one of these defensive studs, maybe a lineman, but also maybe you could see it going D-line corner. What are the chances maybe they say, you know what, let's give Gardner the best chance to succeed. Let's go get a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb, and maybe we pair him with an offensive lineman or something like that. But they really say, you know what, we plugged holes on defense. I'm not saying they upgraded across the board on defense, but they plugged holes. Could you see them maybe surprising us a little how aggressive they are early on the offensive side in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of come around to that a little bit. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they took a receiver at 9. You know, they like their weapons, but as Doug Marrone said the other day, they're like chocolate chip cookies. You can never have too many. So, if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to roll with Gardner Minshew, and you've got to give him enough. It's what they tried to do with Blake in 2014. They, you know, they took Blake in the first, two receivers in the second. Then they ended up getting him the next year. They ended up getting him Julius Thomas. So, I mean, they tried to give him the weapons, and it didn't work out. It's the smartest thing to do. Now, they still have some work on defense, like you said, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of the first-round picks is a receiver. I mean, like we talked about before, they have so many needs that you can pretty much, any position they take, you can go, yeah, well, they needed some help there really badly. So, but, like, the other thing, too, is they're not operating under just the 1 year. As we've talked before, they're looking ahead, too. They're going to have a ton of money to be able to spend in free agency next year. And if you get through this year, and Gardner, by the way, gave you 6 wins last year with a terrible defense and an offensive line that needs some work, you got to figure if we can fix that defense, if we can get some more consistent play out of the offensive line, if we can get him a couple of playmakers to help out, we could be an 8-8, 9-7 team. And then you go into 2021, and oh, by the way, the list of wide receivers, just for example, that'll be free agents, Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, wouldn't that be fun? T.Y. Hilton, Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, Keenan Allen, Marvin Jones, I mean, some of those older guys, but, I mean, you know, look, if you're going to make a run for it, you know, in the second year, with Minshew, second year as a starter, then you would want to add a couple of players there. So I think it's possible, or I think it's likely that's what they're going to do.
D-Rock, you mentioned Doug Marrone there, the cookie comment. Did anything else stand out for you from Coach Marrone a couple days ago?
You know, that was pretty much the extent of it to me, to be honest with you. I didn't really come up with anything major newsy out of that thing. It was, you know, other than the fact that they're, you know, expecting the big jump out of Gardner. You know, look, that was a huge show of faith when they decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and dump Nick Foles. I mean, yeah, they did it for contract reasons, and yeah, they felt like Gardner was probably better. But, you know, look, they're counting on that kid. And that, to me, was some of the biggest stuff that came out of it. Because if you remember, at the Combine, it was, hey, yeah, we're going to let those guys compete. And, yeah, we're going to let Josh Dobbs compete, too. But we all know this is Gardner Minshew's team right now. And any quarterback they add, the sense I get and what I hear and have been told, any quarterback they add would be at best to compete with them, and most likely a veteran guy to, you know, provide a little bit more experience in that quarterback room. Like a Cody Kessler got released yesterday, okay? A guy like that, somebody who's been around the league for a while. Not Cody.
Okay.
I just said a guy like that.
Just making sure, D-Rock.
Right, like a guy who's been around the league for a little bit, who can come in and has seen a lot of stuff, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, or that kind of player, not just Cody Kessler, just that kind of player.
Could we pry Henny loose from the Kansas City Chiefs? Is that
Oh, I'd love possible? It. Chad was great, man. Chad was a great guy in that locker room.
He was a good locker room guy, absolutely.
Yeah,
as long as he keeps it in the locker room. All right, D-Rock, we'll wrap with this. Our question of the day is, at 9-20, who are the guys you're hoping the Jaguars land that realistically you think could be there? No crazy scenarios, no Joe Burrow falling, no Chase Young falling,
right.
But who do you like at 9-20 as of today?
I still like Derek Brown or Javon Kinlaw at 9. I think that while they did some work on that defensive front, they still need more help there. And 20, Tristan Wirfs might be there at 20.
I'd be shocked if Wirfs is there at 20.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of. It really just kind of honestly depends on what receiver is available there too. I think is where they might go as well. If that's their plan, but I mean, I'm really more solid about what could be there at 9 than I am 20. But, you know, either way, look, just get a good player that can start and help you out, and then this team should be in good shape to at least challenge, for a .500 record.
Gotcha. All right, D-Rock. Give me Tristan Wirfs right now at 20.
Yeah, and, I mean, I've seen some mock drafts where he's lasted that long, but, I mean, it's so hard to know. We still have three weeks? And
yeah.
You just, like, who would have thought that Josh Allen would be sitting there at 7?
Yeah, I hear you. Look, I get it. I just, you know, based on all the mocks I've seen and all the rankings, I would be very surprised. I think that first wave of offensive linemen, the top four, maybe top five, are all off the board by 20. But, hey, you know what? We'll find out 3 weeks from tonight, so we don't have that much longer to wait. Mike, stay safe, you and your family over there, and we'll be checking in with you regularly and appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. There he goes, the best. D-Rock, we love him around these parts. From ESPN, at ESPN Duraco is where you will find him. Coming up next, we'll turn it back to a more Jaguar conversation. Also welcome Dr. Kaplan over at JOI, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Find out how those folks have been dealing with the different conditions we find ourselves living in these days. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we have been doing our best here in the recent days to try to highlight some of our local businesses and great supporters of 1010XL, and we want to be great supporters of them as well as they adjust their business practices and services and conditions to adjust to the changing times to keep people safe during the COVID-19 outbreak. And today, we want to take a look at the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute and also JOI Rehab. And on the line, Team Doc, Dr. Kevin Kaplan joins us here on 1010XL. What's up, Doc? How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. Everybody, hopefully you personally and everybody in your immediate circle is healthy right now.
Everybody is healthy. We're being smart and heeding the instructions that we are being told and you know, just kind of hanging in with the social distancing, you know?
Let me ask you a selfish question here, okay? Seriously, because we want to definitely talk about JOI and the conditions that have changed and how you're best servicing and serving your customers out there. But there's been a lot of talk yesterday with the statewide stay-at-home order. The city of Jacksonville had put out a safer-at-home decree shortly before that about golf and how safe it is in terms of that as a recreational activity. And I know the city of Jacksonville has said, and I believe statewide, it's maybe on a course-by-course basis whether or not they decide to stay open. As an activity, you know, you can ride in a cart by yourself. How much would you say, you know what, we shouldn't even be doing that? Or do you think that's an activity that is safe enough within the current parameters of what we're dealing with if people are conscientious about how they go about it?
I think that's what the last sentence you said, I think, is key, right? Being conscientious about everything you're using. Certainly, you're pretty far away from people playing golf. You're keeping the distance, obviously. You know, but things like, you know, handling golf clubs and the golf balls and the golf cart and all those things where you could potentially, you know, touch a surface and have someone behind you, you know, touching the same surface. Those are the, you know, devil's advocate kind of things that we're thinking that, hey, you know, let's be as smart as we can and eliminate as many things that we can under our control. So, you know, certainly for your mental well-being, some people got to get out and do something. And so there's two ways to view that, you know, getting out and doing things with, you know, with someone, one other person or two other people and not congregating, but just being conscientious about making sure to clean surfaces and not touching areas where you may get in contact with the virus if someone else has it.
And the good news is for me, I'm like usually 30 yards behind everybody. So I've got that gap already kind of kicked in. So lucky me.
Yes.
I hear you.
Doc, how much of what you would be doing with the Jaguars in the last month has changed?
Significantly. You know, April 9th and 10th, I was supposed to be going back out to Indianapolis for the combine recheck to see those guys that had injuries, a lot of noteworthy guys that you are looking at the media about right now. We were supposed to recheck and get repeat MRIs and scans. And meeting with the Jaguars and Dave Caldwell and Coach Barone and all the scouts going over our medical grades for our combine players is something we did on a pretty regular basis coming up to the draft. So now we're doing that, you know, virtual Zoom meetings. And the hardest part right now is gathering the information. So in terms of other players that we're looking at. So we're trying to work together as an NFL physician society in gathering information. And I have certain guys that I'm going to be trying to gather information on. I'm going to pass that information on to the other 31 NFL team physicians because we're all trying to get the same information to relay to our team. So this is going to be an interesting draft process and a medical process for us in terms of these players.
No doubt. Now, you could say everyone's in the same boat. Are there ways to gain an advantage? I'm not asking you to tell us, you know, to expose trade secrets here, but do you think some teams will do a better job, hopefully the Jaguars, you know, in terms of getting that intel, or do you think it's going to be pretty widely available? The same information is going to be there for everybody, and it's a matter of how you interpret it.
Medically, I think all the information is going to be available. I mean, certainly, you know, I want our team to win. I mean, that's the goal, right? Jaguars, we want the Jaguars to win. But when it comes to medical information, we're very collegial. Even during the combine process, I could call up, you know, the Houston Texans doctor, Dr. Lowe, and ask him a question. What does he think about this? And that kind of information, the medical information, we really do share. So I don't think there's a competitive advantage. There's certain competitive advantages elsewhere, I'm sure. But from a medical standpoint, we all want the same information. We all want these players to be safe, be healthy, and be effective for our teams.
Yeah, I think I know what the answer is, but I'm sure some listeners are wondering, what, if anything, can you tell watching a video of a player like Tua keeps putting out videos of himself working out, who are posting their workouts, whether it be online or social media, can you tell anything?
You can. You can see where they are in time right now. The things that we can't see are certainly things that we would get at a combine recheck or bringing them in when we do those visits. We'd get repeat MRIs, we'd get repeat scans. There's certain things that we are looking at that aren't necessarily on the surface, so to speak. So while those pieces of information are great right now in the here and now, and there's also things that we're looking at in, you know, specifically players' knees or hips or shoulders that you can't see just from a video. But a hamstring strain, I mean, look, if a guy had a hamstring strain at the combine and he's now running a 40-yard dash and we know what the hamstring looked like, that's easy to say, yes, that's viable and we can look at that tape and know what's going on.
All right, we've got Dr. Kevin Kaplan. He is the official team physician of the Jags with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers, and JOI Rehab as well. Doc, let's narrow it down now to the focus for our listeners out there. Hey, let's say I had surgery recently. I'd still need to continue my rehab to make sure this thing heals properly. Tell us what is still open as far as JOI is concerned and what kind of adjustments you've had to make to ensure the safety, not only of your customers, but your practitioners as well.
So, we're still in the office. Yeah, we think that as a service, as a group, we're here to help our community. People are still, doing things outside, and they're still getting injured. So, all of our physicians are seeing patients, more urgent and emergent situations like broken bones and fractures and torn tendons. So we are still here and available in all of our offices to see those patients that need to get seen. The rehab centers, San Marco, the Beaches location, the South location, we are still rehabbing patients, obviously taking all the necessary precautions to avoid anybody getting infected or bringing the infection in. So we're screening patients when they come in the door, making sure everybody's in a very safe environment. So we want to be a help to the community. We always try to take care of our patients, but we also want to keep people out of the emergency room if they don't have to go there. Calling JOI 2000, telling us what your injury is, we'll get those patients in right away, same day, the next day, as soon as possible, because we still want to take care of our community.
All right. So tell us about what the telehealth option is for folks maybe who cannot attend in person right now due to their circumstances.
Telehealth is something that we instituted this week, and it's been working extremely well on a personal basis for me. It's a very easy system that we've set up with something called Zoom, which I'm sure you guys have heard about.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom meetings, and we set these up, and we're able to see our patients, take them through the necessary exams, tell them that, we can look at them and watch them do range of motion and see the function of their body parts, whether it's a shoulder or a knee or a hip or a back. And that keeps patients at home, but it gives them access to us pretty much all the time. So it's definitely a new era of medicine, but it's a necessary part of this process as we're trying to keep, whether it's someone that's elderly or someone that has an underlying medical condition that you don't want to get them out, they still have access to excellent medical care. But we're also doing that with our rehabs. So our rehabilitation specialists, our physical therapists, and athletic trainers are doing the same types of Zoom meetings so they can take you through an exercise set. Obviously not the hands-on stuff that you may need, but doing the exercises at home. It's a wonderful benefit for our patients.
Have your hours or locations changed at all?
Yeah, so we are seeing people from 8 to noon. We've kind of cut our hours a little bit just to kind of help condense when we're seeing patients. Obviously, having staff members be able to get home and patients be able to stay home. So we're cut hours just a little bit, but obviously all of our physicians are still seeing patients and trying to take care of anybody that needs to get in.
All right, give us that number again. JOI 2000, is that right, Doc?
JOI 2000, and the call center can direct you, whether it be rehab in any location, and seeing our physicians in our locations as well.
Yeah, just keep that in mind, because obviously if you have some kind of injury, something crops up or something that's existing you need rehab for, it's something you need to take care of, and JOI is there for you, as is Dr. Kevin Kaplan, the team physician for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doc, we appreciate the insight this morning, and again, just to leave folks with that same message, be conscientious about what you do. Don't take anything for granted, and just be as thorough as possible, and live your life within these new guidelines as successfully as you can, and we'll all make it through together.
That's it. I appreciate you guys. I look forward to next football season, hopefully with you guys, right?
Yeah, hopefully we can do a fist bump by then. We'll see when we see you in the hallway. All right, Doc, thanks for coming on today.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right, Dr. Kevin Kaplan with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute again. JOI 2000, another one of our fantastic local sponsors here, man. That's what makes the station viable, right? And you, the listeners, supporting the local sponsors who support the station, and hopefully the station then gives you back something in the way of information and entertainment. And it's it's the cycle of life of the economy, right? Like, your neighbors working at that grocery store or that restaurant, man, if you could possibly do a little takeout order at the restaurant, keep them viable, keep them going. They've got to eat. They've got to make their money. You're going to get some great service, and let's just look out for each other as much as possible in these days right now. All right, coming up next, I'm gonna throw a little monkey wrench at you.
What we got?
Got to produce the program on the fly. There's nothing that happened on this date in football, okay? All so right. We will go directly to the drive around the NFL when we come back. Truly, I went through all the birthdays. I'm like, I'll mention this. Yesterday was Sean Taylor, and somehow it slipped by me.
Man,
he calls me up in the afternoon. He's like, what are you doing?
We dropped the ball.
You're killing me over here. That's my guy. So, hey, sorry about that. That's one of E's 18 favorite college football teams. He's got hats for all of them. Don't worry. It's all good. Today's this date in football is yesterday. I neglected to mention that Sean Taylor would have turned 37 years old had he lived. But that's it for this date in football. Not a whole lot else going on. We'll have the drive around the NFL, get back to the Jaguars as well. If you'd like to weigh in, talk a little Jaguar football, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Dallas Cowboys are signing pass rusher Aldon Smith to a one-year deal with a $2 million base salary, the potential for an additional $2 million in incentives. Smith has not played since 2015, is reportedly in the process of applying for reinstatement to the league.
Does that mean we can get Justin Blackmon back this year?
If he had any interest in playing football anymore, maybe.
Kidding.
Maybe. Houston is bringing in defensive tackle Timmy Jernigan on a one-year $3.75 million deal, $1.25 million of that guaranteed. Jernigan has spent the last three seasons in Philadelphia after being a second-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens in 2014 out of Florida State. ESPN's Diana Russini reported yesterday that several sources have told her that free agent Jadeveon Clowney, his asking price has dropped. Clowney was reportedly looking for something in that $20 million-plus a year range. That number now down to $17 to $18 million a year. Seattle still interested in bringing Clowney back. Tennessee, another name mentioned, reportedly interested in bringing in Jadeveon Clowney.
$17 to $18, as Eddie Murphy once said, that's a bargain for me right there. So come on down, JC. Got to make all these moving parts. Got to get that offer first. Need an offer. Hey, Philly, number 21. Let's do it. Come on, send your guy. You can have him. You can have him. You can have all the social media that comes with it. We'll get Clowney in here for 17. We'll save $800,000 against the cap right there in the first year. Cone. That's if it's a straight deal and they don't have any funny way of structuring. Heck, you could put $40 million on the cap next year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they've got so much space. You could knock that cap space down to nothing if you wanted to this year. But we'll get Clowney in here and then Derek Brown at 9, and then when Kinlaw takes an unexpected slide to 20.
Ooh!
Best defensive line in the league.
Again.
But seriously, I mean, think about that. Josh Allen, Derek Brown, Javon Kinlaw, and Jadeveon Clowney across the board. Look, you and I, if we were in charge, as much as Jan's turning me off with the social media stuff, we said it all along. We'd overpay him. Get it done. Make it happen. It's not like I don't want Jan here. He doesn't want to be here. Fine. Go. Mm-hmm. See you later. But we're not giving you away, so let's get something good for him. Let's get Clowney in here. I see Jags hyping up Smoot on Instagram yesterday, working out. What, E? Don't shake your head. What did Smoot have last year? 6 sacks?
Yeah.
2 more, and he's unique in Ngakoue, right? Am I wrong? Or no, is that not right? Is that how math works? Sounds about right. I don't know. We get Smooter in there. We got Al Woods now, Tone. We got Wrecking Ball Rodney Gunter.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to join the Frangie show today at 3:40, by the way. Tune in for that. We'll bring you highlights of that tomorrow on the program.
Because we talk about this stat as much as we do, the quarterback hit stat.
Yeah.
Right, with these guys.
Let me just throw Avery out there before Avery gets mad at me. Avery Jones, ladies and gentlemen. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, DeJuan Smoot had 6 sacks last year on 7 quarterback hits.
That's a pretty high ratio. Unlikely to be replicated, let's just say.
That's J.J. Watt-esque.
So you tell me he needs to get up to like 9 or 10 quarterback hits this year to be an 8-sack guy.
Then we're talking.
Yeah, that's probably not. But look,
it was a solid year for him, especially after 2 years where we had gotten basically nothing from him.
Right. So, he's out there working hard. They're all working hard. I saw that video. Who posted it? Was it Chark posted it? He and Joshua Dobbs were playing a little pitch and catch out there. And, you know, it's only, you know, you see, it's like the Tua video, right? Mm-hmm. Tua drifts back. He drifts back further. He slides to his right, and he uncorks the pass. You have no idea where it even went, right? Because yep. you don't see it. And I was like, ooh, he's healthy, right? And so you don't know. It's like, you know, it's like the trick shot golf guys, right? They're sitting there all day long trying to chip that ball in a cup, and they finally do, and that's the one they post. So I don't know, you know, how many throws Joshua Dobbs missed DJ Chark on, but DJ posts a little video of the two of them playing pitch and catch, and Dobbs firing a couple of strikes way downfield to DJ Chark. So
those golf shots are still impressive, though.
Oh, they're impressive, but it's less impressive. I mean, we could all do something a little fluky, you know, if we tried it 150 times.
I wouldn't even have the patience for all of that.
Well, but you know, that's you're not about building your brand, apparently, man. You gotta be willing to put in the time to build your brand on YouTube. I do like that stuff. I mean, it's fun, but I'd like to see it a little bit more, you know, one shot kind of thing. E and I both have an affinity for the show Ridiculousness.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Do you like it too?
Yeah.
Do you like it? I mean, it's a you know.
I like all those video shows.
I do too. You know, like video fails and what have you. And some of them are. On the other end, some of them are really like, wow, amazing thing this person did on
that's
video.
That's not as cool as guys getting hurt.
This guy, no. But they had this one guy who was playing beer pong, right? Or he had it set up, and he had like 10 cups in a triangle, okay? It's like bowling pins, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so he's got his 10. They're all filled with whatever liquid, and he's going one into one hole, one into the next, one into the next. And he gets down to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Doink, doink, and it bounces off. I mean, I don't know how many times he has tried to get 10 in a row, because you got to have the patience. You know, you missed the third one. You got to redo it again.
Here we go again. Yep.
So he gets down to 10, and he just wipes the table clean. Just goes in there with the forearm and just sweeps everything off the table. Like, he'd had enough of trying. It's still pretty impressive to make 9 in a row.
9 in a row is not bad.
In 9 different cups like that, I thought was pretty good. I don't know. Maybe I literally have never played beer pong in my life.
Really?
No. I mean, bro, I'm older. We didn't have beer pong back in the day. We had quarters. That was the original beer pong.
Hey, I like quarters.
You bounce a quarter off the table and you bounce it into a shot glass. No big, you know, drinking glass. I don't want to hear of this nonsense. You bounce it into a shot glass like a real person.
Oh, y'all did it in the shot glass.
I was going to say like a real man would, but women could play quarters. Yes. Yeah, you got some kind of integrity. You play with a shot glass, E, right? Or, as I had even people older than me that I hung out with back then, you could just drink.
Yeah.
Right? And just drink at your own pace and be happy with that.
Yeah, it's allowed.
Takes the competition out of it a little bit. So, anyway, here's irony for you. Yesterday was hashtag National Walking Day.
How many miles did you walk yesterday?
I walked none. I got around the corner, and I'm telling you, I got like Achilles tendonitis. I should have had Dr. Kaplan give me a rehab program for
right
this
over
thing.
The phone.
But, you know, I went, and I was able to go to the driving range, socially distancing myself, hit my golf balls, because it's a different movement. Whatever the, like, if I step forward on my left ankle, it's like somebody's jabbing me with a knife in there. But I could, you know, kind of side to side. Lateral movement didn't bother me. So I hit my golf balls, I go home, do my push-ups, right? Got to stay in shape here. Can't slack off just because the gyms have closed. And I iced down my ankle, and I'm like, man, it feels better. Yeah, because it was numb, idiot. Right? You can't feel it, all right? So I'm like, I'm going to do my 6 miles. It's National Walking Day. I've been walking every day. I'm not going to miss National Walking Day. Loaded up a couple of podcasts. I was ready to roll. Got around the corner. Came crawling back home, man.
Did you still listen to the podcast?
I did not.
All of a sudden, that feeling came back in that ankle.
It came right back. And I was
it
like,
was done.
I was like, man, this is stupid. Really? I mean, this is really, really stupid. And so I had to give it up. So I'll try to get back on. You know, it's like, but maybe it's like, you know, St. Patrick's Day, I refuse to wear green most of the time because I feel like I'm Irish 365. I don't need to prove it, you know, and I could play it off like that. Like, I don't need to walk on your National Walking Day. I'll walk when I want to walk.
Walk every day.
Every day, except for National Walking Day, apparently. So that's where the irony kicked in, you know. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it right now. So I should have – we had Dr. Kaplan on, should have asked him what's the best thing. He probably would say rest, ice it.
I've been telling you, Mike.
I sit on my butt, dude. I'm going to get fat, all right? I know how to get fat. Trust me. All right, I'm good at getting fat. You should have seen me, and many of you did. You couldn't miss me. Like early December, man, I was a bloated, disgusting sack of flesh, right? Less disgusting today. Just let's put it that way.
Slim dimps.
Slim. All right, keep it going. All right, we'll come back. Let's take a look. Daniel Jeremiah updated his top 50 draft prospects yesterday at NFL.com. That is one of – I've been listening to the Move the Sticks pod on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, or is it the Bleacher Report?
It's just Bleacher Report.
It's just Bleacher Report, right? That's what I thought. So Matt Miller put out a 7-round mock yesterday. Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football put one out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to take Schrager more seriously when he was just like an NFL writer. Now he's on Good Morning Football, and I feel like everything's a goof. But I don't know. That's just me. But he put one out there. Yeah, I liked his combo for the Jags.
All right.
I'll take his pair. So we'll go through some of that draft stuff next. Our question of the day remains out there for you on Twitter. Or you can reply on the text line if you like, or give us a call at 641-1010. At 9 and 20, 3 weeks from today, when the first round of the NFL draft goes down, which two players would you like to see the Jags get with those two picks that you think realistically could be available? Not that they definitely will, but there's a good chance that they're available at those slots. So that's our question today out there. Let us know. Give us a little feedback, and we'll take a look at those before the show is done. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars today on 1010XL.
You know, a few years ago, Tone, you may recall this, I had a pipe burst under the house.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
It was not a wonderful time.
No.
Let me just tell you, you know, when you got to come in and dig up your floor and deal with the situation, right? Like,
was it? Like in the living room?
It was like right as you walk in the front door of the house. Like, I don't know. We got like a living room family. Which is which?
One of those
I
special
don't know.
Rooms.
It's right as you walk in the house.
Yes.
Okay, right in the front door, 10 feet in. And it's just a bad situation, okay? Leaking up through the floor, all this. Had to get the carpeting replaced. Had to do a lot of issues, right? Now, that's on the extreme end of bad plumbing mishaps. But if you got a plumbing mishap, you can't sit there and wait out the coronavirus to get this thing fixed, right? So with that in mind, let's welcome in another great sponsor, another great local business here to 1010XL. We've got Pandora on the line from Roland Reisch Plumbing. Good morning, Pandora. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good morning to you guys.
How are you? Just personally, you, your family, your close, dear friends and loved ones, everybody safe right now?
Yes, sir. To be honest, we're just hunkering down just like everyone else, just trying to stay healthy.
That's all you can do at the moment. But as I said, you know, there are going to be situations that arise that, like it or not, you may have to invite people into your house. If you've got a plumbing issue, as you know at Roland Reisch, you cannot wait. That cannot be put off, Pandora. So tell me how the COVID-19 situation has impacted your business and some of the adjustments you've made for your customers.
Well, we are monitoring the situation very closely. We have taken some steps to make sure that the community stays safe and our employees also. We have provided our technicians with gloves and masks and hand sanitizers, and we've just advised them to limit your exposure, to the homeowners and just making sure that, you know, everything is clean and tidy when we leave out of there. Best we could do at this point.
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems like, you know, you take the proper precautions, you touch as few surfaces as possible, make sure everything is disinfected. But, I mean, you're a business that, to me, you got to be open. You got to be in business because people can't widespread wholesale. There are a lot of people that cannot deal with their own plumbing issues. So it's good to know that Roland Reisch is taking those steps to go above and beyond. And I'm sure you're monitoring all the latest news and making adjustments as necessary as it goes along.
We are definitely continuing seeking guidance from, you know, the public health officials and government agencies just to keep us informed the best way to conduct our business here for the community.
So for you guys, if people out there do have issues in the near or even the long term, what's the best way to get in touch with Roland Reisch?
Just reach out. You can send us an email through our website. You can actually reach out to us on the phone and call 904-260-7059. We're always standing by to help everybody take care of any issues that they have, being you know, big or small.
And give us the website address for folks if they want to start there and just check out your services.
The website is Roland Reisch Plumbing, Plumbing in Jacksonville.
Plumbing in Jacksonville. All right, Roland Reisch Plumbing. Is R-O-L-L-A-N-D-R-E-A-S-H. If you need to, just Google it, and it'll take you right there. And you guys have been a great supporter of ours. We want to return the favor and make sure everybody in the local community is supporting as many local businesses as possible. Nobody wants to have a plumbing problem, Pandora, but they're going to pop up. And what about, like elective things, like if people are wanting to put in a new bathroom. Are you guys still doing that kind of stuff right now, or are you sticking more to emergency services?
No, sir. We're definitely conducting business as usual. We do have estimators that can come out and write up proposals, and we could definitely get anything started. You know, we do put up plastic everywhere to avoid dust and other issues that may arise, you know, to kind of isolate the area that we're going to be working in. So hopefully that'll help larger projects that need to still carry on as usual.
All right, good to know. The number again is 904-260-7059 for Roland Reisch Plumbing. PlumbingJacksonville.com is where you'll find them. I'm looking at the website right now, as a matter of fact, and you can schedule a service request right there on the very front page when you land there. And whether it's you know, kind of an elective thing going on or an emergency service, you can trust that Roland Reisch is going to take these most stringent precautions to make sure that their employees and you, the homeowner, are going to be safe during these times. Pandora, we appreciate it. Continued good health for you and yours around there, and we'll continue to get the word out for Roland Reisch here on 1010XL.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You got it. There she goes. Pandora with Roland Reisch Plumbing, another one of our sponsors who we appreciate greatly. So please do support those that make this network and this station possible. All right, Tony, let's get into I've been listening to that Move the Sticks pod a lot with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks recently, to the point where, by the way, if you scroll down his list to the top 50 new guys, I honestly am a little ambivalent about safety. In general, I like the idea of Antoine Winfield simply because I like the legacy. I loved Antoine Winfield Sr. as a player, so Antoine Winfield Jr. excites me. But player 43, right there in the sweet spot area for where the Jaguars would be selecting in the second round with the 42nd pick, Jeremy Chinn is a guy who's like a linebacker-safety hybrid who they've called kind of like the poor man's Isaiah Simmons. And he's an intriguing prospect to me out of Southern Illinois. I don't watch Southern Illinois film, but both Jeremiah and Brooks have raved about this guy and the athleticism and the upside. So just an interesting guy on the list I wanted to point out. He's moved up five spots in Jeremiah's most recent rankings. Let's give you a look at the top 20. Give you an idea based on DJ's ranks here, what the Jags may be in store for. He's got Chase Young at the top, Joe Burrow at number two.
Okay.
Does it really matter for the Jags' purposes? Neither one's making it to nine, right?
Sure, yeah.
By the way, somebody on the text line said, hey, how come we don't talk about the possibility of the Jags trading Yon to the Redskins along with number nine to get number two? Well, we've talked about it several times.
Yeah.
We brought it up many times. Now, from whose perspective, I don't know who's more or less likely to do that. You know, I think it's a good deal for Washington if you want a pass rusher. You're going to draft Chase Young. You can get Unique Ngakoue if you're willing to sign into a big deal and still have a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
From the Jags' perspective, the reason you would do it ideally is because you think you're going up for a quarterback. I don't want to make this bold of a move for a corner or even Derek Brown. one of those guys probably going to slide to me at 9 anyway, based on the circumstances. But I do kind of like the idea of, okay, what if I got up to number 2 and then I held a bidding war instead of Washington getting the advantage of somebody trying to trade up and get Tua? Say, hey, look, if you want Tua or whoever the next quarterback is, if you've got your heart set on one of them, now's the time to come up and get him. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's definitely something we've kicked around.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, off the top of my head, how often do you see a team trade away a pick and then, especially in that kind of top 2 or 3 range, it gets traded again? Right? It feels like whatever the market was for that pick has pretty much been set.
Right. Like they you come up because you have a goal of exactly right. what you want in mind.
Right. Like it may have happened, but I can't remember very often a team moving up just to move back down.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I do it in fantasy all the time. All the time. All right. Isaiah Simmons is the 3rd-ranked player here, and I think most people feel that probably not a target for the Jags, particularly with Schobert on board. You've got your middle, you've got your weak side. We know the strong side doesn't play a full role. You're not going to take a guy in the top 10 to play strong side linebacker unless you envision him as the safety. He's one of these guys that at this point I'm hoping is off the board in the first 8 picks. Push a guy down that's a better fit. Derek Brown would be one of those guys. He's Daniel Jeremiah's 4th-ranked player. By the way, these top 4 have not changed. Mm-hmm. Since his last update. Jeff Okuda's number 5. That hasn't changed. Tua moved up one spot. What, because he posted a video? I'm like, what did he do to move up? Mekhi Becton dropped down. Oh, Mekhi, you've had a really bad quarantine period here. Like, I don't know what changed, but that's what happened here. Couldn't find that story, by the way. I looked for it. I searched for it. I thought I had bookmarked it on my iPad, but apparently didn't. Yesterday, somebody did a piece where they had talked to a bunch of different front office people anonymously and got their evaluation of the quarterbacks, and that Tua was far from everyone's consensus number 2. In fact, it was number 3 or even number 4 on a few boards.
Yeah.
So, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and, you know, some teams take medical risks maybe more seriously, less willing to roll the dice on such a crucial position.
Certainly.
I get it, right? I mean, you hear that the Dolphins might like Herbert just as much as they like Tua. So it could be a case like that hypothetical. Let's say you did trade up to number 2. What if the Dolphins are like, no, we're good. You know, we're okay.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you take Chase Young? I guess you would, right, if you're the Jags?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's like all these scenarios, nothing's too wild for it to be realistic. We know at least one team last year liked Cleveland Farrell more than they liked Josh Allen.
Exactly.
Because they took him when they had the opportunity to take both, right?
Correct.
Like, NFL teams don't always have it right.
What are the chances Mayock would do it again? Oof. 0?
I would hope it'd be 0.
0.001?
I would hope it would be a 0 chance.
But it was a culture move, remember?
Yeah, you never know with these guys.
They like Josh Allen wouldn't have been a great addition to any locker room's culture from what we've seen from him, right?
Yeah.
Hardworking guy, you know, cozied up to Calais to try to kind of learn from a wise veteran type move.
Which I always think about those kind of things too. You know, when people start criticizing these draft guys and what do they know and they get all this stuff wrong. It's like, yeah, because NFL GMs screw it up every year.
Like, all the time.
There are a handful of them that are great at this.
Even they screw it up.
Right, though. And even they mess it up. It's like it's a very imperfect thing to do.
All right, so here, let me give you the rest of the top 20 here quickly.
Okay.
Javon Kinlaw is number 8.
Uh-huh.
So that makes me feel a little bit better. It's not like so much if you can't get Derek Brown, you're not necessarily settling at that point in time.
Sure.
You're kind of maybe excited
and
to
I'm
have
sure
Kinlaw.
Plenty of teams have Kinlaw ahead of Brown.
They say some do. I don't know. I don't know what the ratio is, but
they're tripping. They're tripping.
You've fixated on Derek Brown
yes.
now. I mean, there is a school of thought that Brown's more of a space eating, you know, guy who's gonna be great against the run, never gonna be great for pass rush. That Javon Kinlaw is a little more quick twitch.
Yep,
and that he'd be more of a penetrating 3 technique, depending on what you want. When you say we want to get a defensive tackle, well, they're not all – it's not the same exact thing.
No.
Right? CeeDee Lamb is ranked number 9 for Daniel Jeremiah.
He's had him as his top receiver for a while.
Yes, he has. Hasn't moved him in the rankings at all. So you got him at 9. You got Jedrick Wills, the Alabama offensive lineman, moving up from 12 to 10. It's a really good quarantine period as well. Jerry Jeudy fell from 10 to 11. And Henry Ruggs went from 11 to 12. So that's, you know, that's Bama, 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 bam, right in the face. Like, you wonder, Tua did have a pretty good supporting cast there,
he
huh?
Did.
Tristan Wirfs at 13, athletic freak, man. He's the dude who jumped out of the pool. Remember that?
Yep.
Remember that video? Jumping out of pool E? Out of it's the shallow end, but go try that.
I try it. Unsuccessful.
So you would not challenge Tristan Wirfs to a jump out of the pool contest?
I'll challenge him to something else.
You
but
would
not that.
Challenge. Oh, by the way, McManus texted me. He was listening yesterday. He did when I said, I'm sure there's something you would like to challenge him in. McManus offered up kickboxing.
Oh,
so,
no.
Your movie.
Hell no.
There you go, Tommy Mack. Justin Jefferson out of LSU, ranked 14. I've heard a lot of people look at him and you know, kind of critique him. Is he better suited as like an NFL number two?
Mm-hmm.
Was he really the best guy on his team? Was he, I mean, how many times did he worked with a quarterback who could throw it on a dime and running wide open a lot? Now, you got to give him some credit for getting open, but how much was that Joe Brady's scheme and whatever? So, look, it's that time of year where everyone gets picked apart. So he's 14th. Patrick Queen, 15th. Walter Football, scratch him off your list, people, okay? Put out a mock draft the other day, and I forget who they had the Jags taken with the first pick. Might have been Brown, might have been Kinlaw, something like that. Might have been offensive tackle, whatever it was. It wasn't a bad pick. At 20, had the Jaguars taken Patrick Queen because they need to finally fill the hole left by Telvin Smith.
Mm.
Let me catch you up on what's happened in free agency. Mm. Okay, we signed Schobert here and announced that Miles Jack's moving to the weak side. So, you know, maybe pay attention to what's going on. It drives me crazy. DeAndre Swift out of Georgia, the running back, ranked 16th. Andrew Thomas, the Georgia offensive tackle, ranked 17th. Kenneth Murray, ranked 18th. He's moved up four spots. Ross Blacklock, the defensive tackle, who we had seen in a few mocks early on to the Jags at 20, is ranked 19th. And then Herbert, sitting there at number 20. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Jordan Love's at 23 for him, by the way. So just to give you a peek into what Daniel Jeremiah feels that currently are the top 20 prospects. That's going to differ. Obviously, not every team is going to agree with that. It's going to come down to needs, evaluation, all that stuff like it always does. By the way, Peter Schrager's mock for the Jags, he had him taking Kinlaw with Brown going one pick earlier to the Cardinals. Had him taking Kinlaw and then coming back with C.J. Henderson at 20. I think most people would sign up for that. You know, I mean, they may prefer Brown. They may prefer some other corner. But if you felt like they walk out with that, you're getting probably pretty good value at two positions that we think they need to upgrade on.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he had Jeremy Chinn. Speaking to that guy, maybe he's been listening a lot to DJ and Bucky, but he had Chinn going 23rd to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So just an interesting name to watch right now. Seems to be climbing some of the ranking charts out there. All right, we'll come back. We'll look at who you would like the Jaguars to land with the 9th and 20th picks. That was your Jaguars Today question of the day. Assuming they exercise those picks, not trading around here, who do you think realistically would be a good pair that you think would be available? That's why the word realistically got involved there. So we're not going to go Joe Burrow. We're not going to go Chase Young. But pretty much just about anybody else is in play, potentially. Even Tua in some scenarios if teams get a little crazy about the medicals with him. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, ET, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we continue on here. Jaguars Today, we'll hand it off to XL Primetime coming up in just a few minutes. Tommy Mack scheduled to be with us tomorrow. I got my letter. You got your letter from the bosses? We're an essential service, an essential business.
Oh, I got mine.
Carry that thing with you at all times. I wonder what it's going to be like. Seriously, like, you know, is it just going to be less cars on the road? Are people going to get pulled over if they're out and about? I really don't know. I don't think so, right?
Are they going to get ticketed? I don't know.
You're going to have to assume everyone's out there who's out there is, you know, you can't pull over everyone who's headed to the grocery store to find out if they're headed to the grocery store, right?
But there's a lot of knuckleheads out there just not taking it serious.
Oh, there are a lot of knuckleheads. There's no question. And, like, if you see people doing activities like that, I would assume that it's going to be enforced.
I might say something to them, too.
Might you?
Hey, you knucklehead!
Hey!
Corona!
Stop doing your wrong thing there!
Get in the house!
Come on. Please don't yell at me on the golf course, though. At least until after my shot. I don't know. Stoff tweeted at me, said in the UK, they've closed all the golfing down right now. I do think that's an act. Again, if you're conscientious, that's why I asked Dr. Kaplan about it earlier from JOI. You know, wipe down all the surfaces, which all the golf courses are doing anyway, but I bring my own just to make sure. Ride in the cart by yourself. A lot of courses already gone to that. Like, they will not let people double up in carts, no matter even if, you know, who you are. I know World Golf Village sent out an email. No exceptions. Doesn't matter. You could be married couple who live together. You're going to ride in a separate cart on our facility. And most places have gone to putting something in the hole where the ball sits up. You don't have to even reach in the hole. Nobody touches the flag stick anymore because you can leave them in. And 95% of people I know putt with the flag stick in now, so you don't even have to take the stick out. No one's touching my clubs anyway. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's – I think if you're, like Dr. Kaplan said, conscientious about it, that's the thing. People get in a comfortable environment and think, oh, I could be out here, and they kind of backslide a little bit. Don't be high-fiving people after they make a 10-foot putt or a 50-foot putt, for that matter. A little long-distance Pam and Jim action.
A little point
right there. A little point is good. Oh. E.T. and I have had the elbow point going on. We don't even point with our finger anymore.
Yeah, no, we going
point
to the elbow.
With the elbow, and then we disinfect. Shh. Anyway, so there you have it. That's the times we live in. Today we asked Tony, who are the two you'd like to have at 9 and 20? Who would you like to have at 9 and 20 that realistically you think you have a shot of getting?
Derek Brown and one of those tackles, whether it be Jackson or Jones.
Austin Jackson would be wouldn't bother me there. You know, I don't mind. Like, if they go the corner route, I'd be fine with Trevon Diggs there. You know, I don't break down the film of these corners. Somebody asked me today on the text line, how would you rank these corners? Who do you like out of these corners and out of these safeties? And I said, look, here are the guys I like, but I'm not a film watcher. I can't tell you why Trevon Diggs versus Christian Fulton or somebody, you know, is the right fit, but I will rely on the opinions I hear and the ones that sound sensible. Like, I'm not going to get all up in arms. Like, if they took Christian Fulton at 20, I'm not going to go, well, Tony Pauline said that, you know, Trevon Diggs is the better option. And he may be, but Tony Pauline could be wrong, right? I mean, sure. Reasonable people can disagree on these kind of things. I think, to me, I'm going to be okay if they are addressing, like, don't take Cole Kmet, right? I don't care if he's the best tight end out there. I don't want a tight end at 20, right? I mean, come on. I don't even want him at 42 for that matter.
I might throw some at the TV.
But come on, throw it at the radio. You'll be listening to coverage on 1010XL, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Of course. Company man. Got to be a company man. Stoff said, my friend got questioned by the police for walking his dog. I don't know what's going on over there in the UK. I do know specifically they say you can take your pet out.
Yeah.
To take care of your pet. You know, you have to walk your dog. Right. Like, don't walk your dog in a pack of 10 or 12 people. Walk your dog and keep your distance from everybody. And it should be fine. But thank you, Stoff, for putting that out there. Now I know where not to move. I don't have a dog, though, so I guess it doesn't matter all that much. All right. I'm with you on Derek Brown.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he wants to claim him as his guy. Like, he's the only guy like Derek Brown in these parts. He's gesturing at me right now in a way I cannot repeat on the air. But we'd all like Derek Brown. Look, what if they opt for Kinlaw over Brown? You got to trust him, right?
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to. You can be like, ah, rah, rah, rah. I don't know who's going to be the better pro, right? There's a mixed school of thought on this whole thing. Like you said, I think that from what we're hearing, there are reports there are teams that like Kinlaw better than Brown.
Yeah.
So maybe the Jags are one of them. I don't know.
That'd be fine.
Be interesting to see. I mean, honestly now, I get myself in these head spaces to where now I'm trying to convince myself that Kinlaw could slide to 20 and we can take them both. Right, I do think there's going to be more value at corner at 42. You know, I think there'll be plenty. Put it this way, there'll be enough value at corner, more value at corner at 42 than there will be at offensive line. Right, So maybe I'm with you, like the Derrick Brown, Austin Jackson duo, or, you know, again, I'm going on what others have said about Austin Jackson and, you know, maybe Andrew Thomas slides. I don't know. And some might say, that's crazy. He's going to go top five. I don't know. Maybe he will, right?
Maybe he will, because we always know what the top 10 is going to look like every year, 3 weeks out.
Never, right?
Yeah.
Rarely, if ever, right? And there's always one or two guys you're like, wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. Why is he sliding? Well, it's not that necessarily anyone doesn't like the guy. It could just be that they like someone else a little bit more, or they feel like the need is so great and the values are so close.
Where they'll come out and talk about, we don't draft for need. They draft for
need. They all draft for need.
They absolutely do.
Every team drafts for need to some degree.
And they will tell you it was the best player available. Whether or not that's true or not on their board, who knows? But we know that NFL teams draft for need.
Correct.
Everywhere in the draft, it's what they do. So, yeah, it's the most unpredictable thing that we talk about every year is the NFL draft, because we just don't know what we don't know about any of these guys or prospects or what teams are thinking, and trying to figure out what a room full of a couple hundred people trying to make a decision for 32 different teams are thinking about a couple hundred different prospects. Come on. Like, how are you supposed to know?
Here we go. Here's some that we got. A lot of people apparently think Kinlaw might slide to 20. Because they're saying
sweet.
Someone and Kinlaw. If that's the case, honestly, give me the Great Wall of Duval. Come on. Josh Allen, Derrick Brown, Javon Kinlaw, and Rodney Gunter. let me do that again. And Rodney Gunter.
Ooh.
And Smooter. The Smooter out there looking quick.
And Taven.
Jags are so corny tweeting that out, aren't they? Oh, I'm sorry. Someone already had that line on social media, on their Instagram.
Well, he didn't say corny. He just
he put the
corn.
Picture of corn. Right, the corn.
Yeah.
Jags corn.
Yeah, Jags corn.
Maybe it's just like he's saying that's like a staple crop.
Yes.
Smoot is like a staple crop that gets us through these hard times.
That's right.
That's probably what he meant. Here we go. From Dominic Simmons and Kinlaw. That's Isaiah Simmons and Kinlaw. CeeDee Lamb and Kinlaw for Scott. Cobalt Blue says Brown and Kinlaw. He's got it.
There we go.
Great Wall of Duval right there. That's the ideal. Derrick Brown and Justin Jefferson from Joe. Derrick Brown and Josh Jones. A lot of people are going to be very happy if they take Derrick Brown. Brown and Andrew Thomas says Aaron. Brown and CeeDee Lamb says Michael. Brown and Thomas again. Mekhi Becton and Kinlaw. And he threw in T. Higgins at 42 from Jags fan in Wisconsin, BCB Ben. Brown and C.J. Henderson to Cristiano. That may be like the chalk of all, right? And maybe, I don't know if people are thinking maybe Henderson's not going to make it to 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
Some have said Ruggs in here. Let's see. Tristan Wirfs and Christian Fulton. Wirfs is a freak, man. I mean, he is a freak of an athlete. Imagine putting Wirfs at right tackle next to Taylor and you want to run the football. That might not be bad. CeeDee Lamb and Kinlaw, Lamb and Epineza. Let's see. I think they go O tackle and D tackle. We'll see. And without getting particular, Brown and Fulton, Isaiah Simmons and Kalavon Chasen. Who, by the way, there was a video of him working out, wearing a very teal shirt with a Jaguar logo on it. So I don't know if that means anything or what. You know, we can all try to read these little clues into it. Someone said Simmons at 9. That's crazy. He's not going to be there. I don't know. Somebody's going to be there probably that you don't expect to be there.
Right.
To some people, the idea of Derrick Brown being available at 9 is crazy.
Because
a lot of people have him rated as a top 5 player in this draft. Anyway, that's all the trouble we can get into for today, at least that we're going to get into. So let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
All right, we got Matt Hayes in house. Hello, Matthew.
What's up, boys? How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Who are your ideal pair of players for the 9th and 20th picks, assuming we don't trade around and that you think realistically have a really good chance of being there? We can't know for sure, but what's your ideal pairing for those first two picks?
Well, considering I think that receiver and corner are both very deep in this draft, and you could probably get first round talent early in the second round, I want two big guys. And if it's
D-line, O-line,
D-line, O-line. Derek Brown first and an O-line second. And if for some reason, somehow, some way, you trade Jan to someone and get a third pick, then you can worry about what that third pick is at that point. But, yeah, I want two big guys.
Oh, yeah. We'll take the 21st pick, and then we'll just take a luxury pick and take Henry Ruggs right
there. Yeah, whoever.
There,
right.
That'd be fine.
That'd be great. I'm good.
Honestly, what about the Great Wall of Duval? We got Josh Allen. Take Derek Brown at 9. Kinlaw slides to 20. We take him too. We trade Jan, and we go sign Jadeveon Clowney. Boom! Who's got a better D-line in football?
Boo! That's Saxonville redo.
It is, right?
That's pretty good.
That would be pretty sweet. I mean, I've now put myself in this headspace where I want Kinlaw so badly.
And anything else is going to be like, you know, you're going to be disappointed now.
I'm going to be totally disappointed. I'm going to be disappointed no matter what. I want them all. All I need is like 6 first-rounders between 9 and 20.
Right.
And I get all the guys I want. Judy and Lamb.
That doesn't even go into the Clowney plan coming into play.
Right, and we're going to sign Clowney, and
that's fine. The Clowney plan's a great plan.
Yeah, and we'll get Henderson, and why not get Trayvon Diggs? Because we always need depth at cornerback,
right? Absolutely. I mean,
get all these guys.
Yes. And Chase on, too. I heard you talking about him.
And why not? By the way, Jaguar shirt yesterday?
That's, you know what that is? That's Southeastern Louisiana, the Jaguars. So.
Oh, is that what they are? But it's like the Jacksonville Jaguar logo. Yeah. Do they have the exact same logo? It was a Jaguar
I don't know if they do, but I know they are the Jaguars. And I believe he's from that area. May have like a brother or someone he knows that plays.
Or maybe like it's one of those deals like my wife once got me a ball marker, right?
Right.
And it was a Washington Redskins logo ball marker. She's like, what? I thought you were a Florida State fan. I'm like, honey, this is a true story. I mean, so maybe somebody thought they were doing the right thing and they got him the wrong Jaguar shirt. It could be that.
Hey, for all we know, it is a Jags. You know,
this Jaguars logo that he was wearing in that thing. Who knows, man. What do you guys have cooking today?
We got former Jag Brant Boyer coming on. We're going to talk a little what's good and then about the future. We got Eric Rhett.
You got to play that little story for him from Fred Taylor? Freddie T talking about Boyer and McManus, telling him to slow the F down in practice, Rook. What are you trying to do out here? Make us look bad?
Leon actually brought that up when we were at the Senior Bowl with him. We were all sitting down having a cold one talking about, you know, the good times. And Leon brought that up. And we were laughing about it. That was, 2 months ago. We might bring it up again for the listeners.
Well, because you got Freddie now telling the story. It was great. Funny little tale. But anyway, sounds like a good show. Matt, be safe as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, bud.
Okay, boys.
And there he goes, Matt Hayes with Bleacher Report, Tony. Bleacher Report.
After we had DeRocco with the ESPN.
The ESPN, yes. He joined us earlier today. Thanks to Mikey D, who will be joining us long distance, at least for the short term here, with the conditions being what they are out there. All of you out there, be safe, be smart, be conscientious. I think it was a good word today. So that'll do it for us, for Tony Smith, for ET. Thanks again to D-Rock for stopping by. And a great chance to highlight a couple more sponsors today in JOI and Roland Reisch Plumbing. And we appreciate all of them out there. Support your local businesses, people. Whether the 1010XL sponsors, they should be first in line. But even if it's not, support your local businesses. Keep them viable. Let's all get through it together. We're going to tell you this every single day. Stick around because the next 3 hours, you got Joe C., you got Hacker, you got Leon Searcy, and you got Matt Hayes. XL Primetime coming your way on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville. Start taking care of y'all mantles, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken.